some big announcements today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Labor Department releases the latest employment figures in a little more than half an hour. Analysts are predicting a jobless rate of about 9.8%. A little later, we'll hear from the International Olympic Committee on which city will get the nod for the 2016 Summer Games. Tokyo, Madrid, Rio de Janeiro, and Chicago are in the running. Officials in the Windy City have been lobbying hard for those games. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
Chicago has been slammed by the recession, so hard that the Olympic Committee worried the city wouldn't be able to get the financing needed to be ready for the 2016 Summer Games. But the privately financed Chicago Olympic Committee says it can raise the money. All it needs is the Olympics.
It's the perfect time to do it when times are tough.
Beth White is the director of sports venues and operations for Chicago's Olympic Committee. She points out that if Chicago were picked, the city would get $1 billion from the Olympic Committee right away, not to mention sponsorship money and tourism revenue. And she says investors will build if the bid comes.
I've been in meetings with the buildings and trades unions, and they've got 28% of their workforce sitting home now. And two projects are waiting, and if the thumbs up goes to Chicago, those projects move forward.
Other projects could move forward, too. White says many commercial projects that ran out of funding during the recession could get the money they needed if investors knew the games were coming to town. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Now, critics to Chi-Town getting the nod say it would wreak traffic havoc, cause a budget migraine in a city already scraping by. And columnist Eric Zorn in this morning's Chicago Tribune compared the debate to one of a couple thinking about having kids. The whole do the costs outweigh the joy argument. Not much joy with stocks today. Markets in Europe are lower right now. In Asia, markets down. Yesterday was the worst showing on Wall Street in 3 months. The S&P and NASDAQ were down 2.5% and 3%. The Dow dropped more than 200 points to close at 95.09. Futures today not looking good either, stateside. American Airlines has been planning on a joint transatlantic venture with British Airways and Iberia, but regulators in Europe have now come up with a list of objections to that idea. Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard has more.
The three airlines want to run a joint operation between Europe and North America. They would like to cut costs by coordinating flights and fares. The European Commission's been looking at the plan and has just raised some concerns. Among them, the grip this alliance would have on some key transatlantic routes. BA and American would between them control 70% of flights between London Heathrow and Miami International Airport. Howard Wildon is an aviation analyst with the BGC Group. He thinks the tie-up faces insurmountable opposition from rival carriers like Virgin.
The pressures from the likes of Virgin and the others, they will put on the both European and American regulators to stop it happening, I think are far greater than we've probably ever seen before.
BA, American and Iberia are planning to respond to the EU's concerns by the end of the month. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by saveandinvest.org, helping military service members and families manage their money with confidence. Online at saveandinvest.org.
It took until the wee hours of this morning for the Senate Finance Committee to get through the last of the amendments attached to health care reform. That has cleared a path for health care to make it to the floor of the Senate. That's been a top priority for President Obama. Beyond that, what comes from Congress is anyone's guess. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich is with us to talk about it. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve.
So are we going to see health care reform enacted, or is this going to be some sort of repeat of 1994?
It will be enacted. One big difference between 1994 and now is that President Obama early on made sure he had the support of the pharmaceutical industry, health insurers, and even the AMA.
And it wasn't a very hard sell, though, was it?
Not particularly, because he promised them that they would do better with reform than without it, because reform means tens of millions of new paying customers.
But, Bob, for bigger profits, aren't we talking about more money from beneficiaries and from taxpayers?
Well, there's been a lot of talk about new efficiencies, obviously, but you're basically right, Steve. And much of the background drama in all of this is about keeping industry on board while at the same time controlling future costs so that neither people who have to buy insurance nor taxpayers get socked with too high a bill.
So how does all this background drama get played out?
Well, there's broad agreement that companies will have to play or pay, that is, provide insurance to their employees or pay a penalty. Individuals will have to buy insurance or pay a penalty, and people who cannot afford it will be subsidized. But the pharmaceutical industry does not want Medicare to be able to use its bargaining muscle to get lower drug prices. So there's a struggle over that. And private insurers don't want a public insurance option. That's another fight. So far, industry is getting most of what it wants.
Do you think then there will be enough votes to at least get the basics?
Yes. I mean, all House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has to do is make sure no more than 40 Blue Dog Democrats jump ship. And all Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has to do is line up 60 votes. That's not for the bill itself, but just for a procedural motion to get the bill to the Senate floor. And after that, he needs 51. And after all, he's got 60 Democrats.
Yeah, but what about the Republicans? I mean, they've been steadfast against most of the president's health care proposals, right?
Yeah, but there's really just one Republican who makes a difference. That's Olympia Snow from Maine, who's inclined to vote for the health care bill. Her vote is critical because it not only allows the president bragging rights about the bill being bipartisan, but more importantly, it gives Democrats from swing states and districts some cover because they can tell the folks back home that even a Republican supports this bill.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, who teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Finally, Brett Favre's move to the Minnesota Vikings this season could prove to be an economic boom for one sports bar in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. The Milwaukee Burger Company planned to burn the former Green Bay Great's gear in a big barrel during Monday night's Packers-Vikings game. Only problem? The fire marshal thinks there could be too much fuel for that fire, given the newfound hatred for Favre. The restaurant now plans on burning just one number 4 jersey and giving the rest of the stuff and $10 for each item to charity. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great Friday and a very nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.